What are you doing with what you've been given? That to me is the primary question about life. That to me is what being purpose-driven is all about.
The first Reformation was about belief. This one needs to be about behavior. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds.
So my advice to you is, look at what's in your hand, your identity, your influence, your income, and say, it's not about me, it's about making the world a better place.
We're talking tonight about Rick Warren and the purpose-driven church movement, some familiar words from Rick Warren. It is popular. There's no doubt about it, despite what we discussed near the end of the last hour with Chris Roseborough, our guest, about the decline in sales of the purpose-driven franchise. It is still wildly popular. Why? That's a good question. We'll start out with this question here in the second hour of our conversation on Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement, on Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome back. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Sunday night. It's the 3rd of December. You can join us. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's an instructor at Capo Valley Community Church in California, and he's author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Explain to me the popularity. I mean, you have to go back about 5 or 6 years, really, to get to the roots of this thing, but why in the world did the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church movement, and everything else that has spun off from it? I mean, it is a merchandising dream. Anybody who's out there wanting to make money off of Christian merchandising, they got it if they invested in it. So why did it catch on like wildfire in Christian congregations across all denominational lines?
I actually think it goes back a little farther. I think it goes back about 10 years to when Rick Warren wrote the Purpose-Driven Church book. And it was at that time that, you know, I was actually first exposed to Rick Warren and his writing back then. And it was very popular among pastoral circles. And that, I think, pretty much greased the skids, you know, and kind of set the foundation for the Purpose-Driven Life book, because the Purpose-Driven Life was really a spin-off of that Purpose-Driven Church book, and many pastors already had taken Rick Warren's principles, been trained at Saddleback on how to be purpose-driven, and that was kind of the next thing. And so he literally had a network of pastors that were ready to, you know, take this Purpose-Driven Life book and give it to their congregations with full kudos and recommendations. But on a more psychological level or a more cultural level, the reason why it's so popular is because it makes us feel good about ourselves. It's a journey of self-discovery. I think it's what Paul writes in Timothy. It gives us what our itching ears want to hear. You know, it doesn't really present, you know, God is angry at our sin and you know, we, you know, are hopeless unless we trust in Christ, and Christ is the only way. That's really not it at all. It's really about learning how to, you know, take what you've got and use it to the glory of God, make a better way in the world, make the world a better place. And that's a feel-good message. In fact, I think the best flag that you can tell as far as what the content of the Purpose-Driven Life book is about is really on the dust jacket itself. It says it's a self-help Christian book, and that's what it is. It's self-help, and self-help sells in America.
Is we talked in the last hour about how Warren kind of chafes at the notion that the message of Saddleback and of the Purpose-Driven Church is watered down. As far as you can tell from his writings, does he have a problem with the whole self-help category?
I think he has a problem with that. In fact, I've even heard him trying to rebut that in several interviews. And I don't think he does it very successfully. And I'm not sure if this is one of those things where, as an observer of Rick Warren, my question, you know, to him would be, you know, are you really not seeing it? What, you know, are you blinded to what it is that's really going on here, or is that, or is this some kind of a show? I can't quite get a fix on him. He seems so sincere at times, and then at other times what he says is so glaringly wrong that I wonder how he can say such things with a good conscience, knowing that he is a called and ordained pastor within a Christian Southern Baptist church. I wonder if Rick Warren himself isn't a walking dichotomy.
Well, a comparison, if you don't mind, and I don't know how familiar you are with another franchise that just didn't catch on the same way the Purpose-Driven franchise did. It's the Contagious Christian, or the Contagious Church franchise, that came out of Willow Creek in South Barrington from Bill Hybels and Mark Middleburg. Well, you know, they wrote the Becoming a Contagious Church, and then that kind of caught on a little bit. They wrote Becoming a Contagious Christian, but it had Christian in the title, you know. Mm-hmm. And it focused an awful lot on the specifics of their particular brand of evangelism, mm-hmm, and personal evangelism. Something that is missing from the purpose-driven life. It more becomes about kind of a one-size-fits-all. If you're a Christian, this works for you. If you're not a Christian, it could also work for you finding your divine purposes in life.
Right. I'm not as familiar as with the Contagious Christian thing. That was one of those ones I, you know, more or less plugged my nose and ignored.
I guess what I'm wondering is, could the broader appeal of the purpose-driven life derive from the fact that it is one-size-fits-all and you can be just about anything and be purpose-driven?
Right. I think what's really missing in the whole purpose-driven life book is the offense of the cross. That's, you know, the cross is the central teaching of Christianity, and it's foolishness to Greeks and offensive to Jews, and this is the thing that is so offensive to the world, and it's glaringly missing from the purpose-driven life book. What I find interesting is when I hear reports about major sports teams, NFL teams, NBA basketball teams, I mean, the Raiders, okay, I'm not much of a football fan, okay, but I heard the Raiders did the purpose-driven life together, and I'm thinking the Raiders are, you know, in football, they're known as kind of a bunch of thugs, you know, really, you know, not your most ethical, you know, playing team out there, and they're doing the purpose-driven life together. It's one of those things that just makes me scratch my head and go, what has happened to the world? It seems so surreal when you hear of things like that.
How do you think historians will look back on this? I mean, this movement so far, at least in its timeline, hasn't been incredibly significant, but if you look at, in terms of the marketing and the money that's spent and the worldwide appeal of the franchise, the purpose-driven brand has made a mark that historians might even notice. How do you think they're going to talk about it?
Let me answer it from a Christian historian's point of view, somebody who really believes in the whole idea of Heil Geschichte, the idea that history is really about Christ and is coming to a pinnacle. Personally, what I think is going to happen is that when we look back on the purpose-driven movement 10, 20 years from now, should the Lord tarry, we will see that as a pivotal point at which the church, especially in America, slipped into obscurity and apostasy, really to a degree that we haven't seen. And everything will tie back to that's really where Bible-believing evangelicals unbuckled themselves from Scripture and literally sent the church off into a complete tailspin. The thing that's going to succeed the purpose-driven movement, by the way, I think, is going to be the emergent church. You know, Rick Warren has completely set the Christian church up to be invaded by this cancerous movement called the emergent church movement, and it's going to be ugly. I think in the future, people are going to look back and go, that's where we went wrong.
Someone has read The Purpose-Driven Life, and they're just scratching their head at this point saying, Chris, what are you talking about, unbuckling themselves from Scripture? I mean, I've looked in the index of The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church, and it's just chock full of Scripture references. So how could you say it's a radical unbuckling from Scripture?
Again, I go back to, you know, go back to my website and take a look. I've got an entire section in there called Purpose-Driven Critique, and I show over and over and over again where Rick Warren literally misquotes Scripture, constantly quotes from the Message paraphrase, and basically makes Scripture say things that it doesn't say. And, you know, if you were listening in the last hour, you know, Rick Warren in the purpose-driven church talks about, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, saying that it take, you know, saying that unselfish, you have to be unselfish and immature and think about the needs of unbelievers in church. Well, this passage doesn't say anything like it.
Well, let's take a break right there. I want to pick up that thought when we come back. The use of Scripture, you know, outside of criticisms like ours, the greatest criticism that the purpose-driven church movement has come in for, especially among Rick's fellow Baptists, has been his use, or as many have said, his misuse of Scripture. We'll talk about that with Chris Roseborough on the other side of this break. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727.
What we do in times like this is pay close attention and recognize in it God's alien work to drive us to Jesus.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, on what Christians should know during times of disaster.
We should rejoice over our relationship with Christ, over our relationship with our family. We should speak forgiveness to those whom we have sinned against and those who have sinned against us. We should be quick to think about eternal things and not the ridiculous things that ball us up and bog us down, which are necessary for life, but rejoice in the eternal verities which sustain us.
For more information about LCMS World Relief, go to the Issues Etc. website, issuesetc.org, or call 314-996-1683, LCMS World Relief.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The new I Have Issues t-shirts are available, and there's only one way to get one, by joining the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual donor program. You'll find the statement, I have issues, on the front of the shirt, and on the back, the Issues Etc. logo, our website address, and the slogan, Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. Now, anyone who joins the Issues Etc. Reformation Club between now and the end of 2006 will receive the I Have Issues t-shirt, plus other membership benefits like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. Now, for more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year. We'll also send an Issues Etc. t-shirt, travel mug, and pen to current Reformation Club members who upgrade their membership. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest as we continue to talk about Rick Warren and the purpose-driven church movement. Chris, you were saying something before the break, then I want to go to the phone calls here. But you were talking about how history will look back and say, here is where the American church, by and large, unbuckled itself from Scripture and therefore started to decline into apostasy. So, am I hearing you right that even though one may constantly quote the Bible, it is really how the Bible is being handled, how it's being interpreted and used, that's at issue for you here.
Yes, absolutely. And let me give your listeners just a real simple example that they can understand. In my early days of ministry, I spent a lot of time witnessing to cultists, to Jehovah's Witnesses, and to Mormons. And I can tell you without blushing an eye or anything that Jehovah's Witnesses know their Bibles. They know them really well. However, they're misquoted. And if you were to sit down and study and actually take the time and do a book study with a Jehovah's Witness, you would be impressed by how much Scripture they are reading during their book studies. The problem is that, you know, there's just enough truth to bait you, and there's a hook in there of false doctrine. Rick Warren does the same thing. He plays very fast and very loose with the Scriptures. He heavily relies on the Message paraphrase, which is not even close in so many regards to what Scripture actually says according to the original texts and manuscripts, that he's literally he's creating a religion out of whole cloth based upon his thoughts and his principles. And I really think the Southern Baptist Church needs to call him into account and make him explain why he so badly misreads Scripture and makes it say things that it doesn't. And this isn't; these are not isolated incidences. I've documented them on my website, and I would even refer your listeners to a book by a gentleman by the name of Bob DeWay. Bob DeWay has an entire chapter in his book called Redefining Christianity, where he documents very well in a very scholarly way, you know, how Rick Warren, in the book The Purpose-Driven Life, misquotes Scripture and literally is redefining ever so subtly what Christianity is. And it must be taken a look at by people and weighed against what Scripture actually says.
1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number as we come to you live this Sunday night, December the 3rd. 1-800-730-2727. Let's go first to talk with Pat in Longview, Texas. Pat, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I'm so glad to find your program and hear someone questioning Rick Warren's theology. I don't know if that'd be the correct word for it. I heard something about socialist Christianity, and that kind of sounds more like it. It sounds more like a political thing than it does a Christian thing. It's kind of like Jesus taught like a teacher in a schoolroom without the anointing. Doesn't mention about the anointing of God being on him, and that he addressed illness by telling people, let's get together and get enough money for you to go to the doctor. I mean, he healed people. This was this reeks to me of a form of godliness, but without the power.
Pat, thank you very much for the call. You had mentioned before, I think the term you used, Chris, was a social gospel. Make the point again for those just tuning us in about the affinity between the old-style liberal social gospel and what Rick Warren is calling for by way of the New Reformation.
Right. The old-line social gospel is a Christianity with an emphasis on going out and making a difference in the world by, you know, feeding the poor, by making a difference in the world. And back during the 60s, the liberal congregations, I mean, their big thing was, are you against the war and what are you doing to stop the war in Vietnam? And so it's a Christianity that really, they're going out trying to make a difference in the world for social causes, but they don't bring the message of the cross of Jesus Christ and our sin and rebellion against God and our need for a Savior and to have Christ's righteousness applied to us through faith. They're not interested in that. They're interested in something that they can go out and do. It's a Christianity of works, or as Rick Warren likes to say, of deeds, not creeds. It's not important what you believe. It's important what you do. And I think Rick Warren's emphasis on deeds versus creeds is literally a resurrection and a rebranding, you know, to use a corporate term, you know, rebranding and remarketing of basically old liberal social gospel type stuff.
The old line liberals back in the 60s, if you would have walked up to them and said, are you really talking about replacing the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, that is the message of Christ crucified for sinners, with some sort of social activism? They would have said, oh, no. We just want to shift the emphasis ever so slightly toward the activist side. But 30 years on, Chris, that emphasis has become the sole emphasis, and it
right.
has become a genuine social gospel. Do you foresee something like that? From that, again, for that hypothetical historian's perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I see the same thing. In fact, I think the tagline for the Purpose-Driven Church book is, it's about changing church without compromising the message. That's kind of my paraphrase of the tagline. The thing is that if you were to think of the cross as a compass, with the cross of Christ pointing to due north, okay, the church is to always head due north towards the cross. That's the message that we've been given. And if you try to make concessions and deviate just 1 or 2 degrees, you are, over a course of time, going to be thousands and millions of miles off from your target. We as the church, do not have the luxury of changing the message or just deviating from it slightly or mixing it with some other stuff because we need to be relevant. That's not what we're given to do. We're given God's word and his sacraments and the message of the cross. That's it. And we are to be faithful to that, regardless of the other bright and shiny objects and causes that so easily distract us and pull us away from that message.
Well, like the way Pat put it, before we go to this next caller, she talked about having the form of godliness without the power. And if the power is that gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, you take the gospel out, you do have a form of godliness without the power. And I guess that wouldn't make it real godliness after all. Dewey is calling from Silver Springs, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Dewey, we're going up against a break here. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi, Dewey.
Yeah, I just kind of, just to preface my comment, I had started to read the Purpose-Driven Life and wasn't able to make it very far because of just what I felt was the misuse of the translations. And then later read a website that was kind of talking about the twisting of the scriptures to back up ideas that were theologically solid, but just wrong scriptures used where other ones could have sufficed. And my question is, has anybody, as you were saying, that the Southern Baptist Church may be calling to account, has anybody actually presented this to him and kind of brought these things up? And if so, how did he respond?
All right, Dewey, it's a good question. We've got about 30 seconds before this break. Do you know anything, Chris?
No, I don't know of any formal activity on the part of the Southern Baptist Convention. I will say this, and that is, you know, I teach at a church that is affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. And the rumblings within the church is that it's a very political organization right now. And over the summer, the political infighting, you know, continues. But one of the main people, you know, one of the head people within the Southern Baptist Convention is a dyed-in-the-wool Warrenite. I mean, and so there's a lot of people within the SBC who view Rick Warren as their superstar, and they don't really look favorably on people who are criticizing them, and in fact, many times go out of their way to silence them. Even I've run into a little bit of trouble because, you know, I've been considered, you know, too hard and unloving in my criticism, and, you know, and basically my point is show me from Scripture where I'm wrong. You know, so let's just say that it's not very popular still to challenge Rick Warren, although I think Rick Warren's, by inviting Barack Obama to speak at Saddleback on Friday, he's lost some of his appeal, and his reputation is going to actually be hurt and a little bit wounded as a result.
Okay, I want to talk about that when we come back and take more of your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-Centered Cross Focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair let alone a toy or a bed or somebody who loves them. And you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real challenge, is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Chris, before we go back to the phone calls, I want to give you a chance to just expand momentarily on something you mentioned just before the break, and that is the junior Democratic senator from Illinois was invited to Saddleback to speak there, Barack Obama, to the chagrin of many evangelicals. What was going on?
Well, actually, that's even to my chagrin. I was actually one of the original signatories on the original press release that went out calling on Pastor Rick Warren to rescind his invitation to Barack Obama. The issue really there is that Rick Warren had his second annual global summit on AIDS at Saddleback Church and invited Barack Obama to speak there. The flap over the whole thing has to do with not to do with the fact that he is partnering with Democrats or anybody to help fight AIDS. I mean, the reality is we all have to work together if we're going to combat the AIDS crisis. The issue has to do with the fact that Barack Obama follows a creed. Let me use the Deeds Creeds thing here. Barack Obama subscribes to a creed that says that murdering unborn children is okay. And as a politician and somebody in power, this is something that is offensive not only to Christians, but I would say offensive to God. And so it is inappropriate for somebody who brings that type of creed, a creed of murder, to speak at a Christian church. That's not appropriate. And me and many other people called on Rick Warren to rescind his invitation to Barack Obama. Of course he didn't, and what I think is interesting is the fallout now from it. I had a few people in my class this morning saying, I heard that Rick Warren endorsed Barack Obama for president. In fact, the Orange County Register yesterday had a big article that says, Evangelicals Embrace Obama. And, I mean, in today's society where most people don't really read much more than the headlines, it sounds like evangelicals are now supporting Barack Obama. And this is a tacit endorsement of his, you know, future presidential campaign. Again, it was a complete mistake and misstep on Rick Warren's part to invite Barack Obama to speak to the church.
Don calls from Council Bluffs, Iowa. He listens on KLCV. And, Don, you've been very patient. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, good to be on tonight. I was just listening, and I just want to comment on the guest. I think he's right on. I think that you look at Scripture, we can see the church today is slipping off into a strong delusion because they've forsaken the only way into heaven is by placing your faith 100% in Christ and Him crucified. That is it. No works, no nothing will save anybody but only through the shed blood. And I think the church has strayed into the works mentality, and they've lost the intimacy, and our real purpose is to fall in love with Jesus every day and allow His light, His glory to shine through us to this world and to focus on that. But, I mean, I go to a small church up here, and our pastor preaches on the cross. He preaches on sin. We have great worship, and we just refuse to compromise any which way but to preach Christ and Him exalted.
Don, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for being patient. Your thoughts there, Chris?
It's very encouraging to hear that there are people like Don out there who attend congregations, who understand kind of the present dangers that exist with letting the culture dictate to the church what the church should be doing, and instead are refusing to be influenced by the culture, and have basically put the stake down and are doing what Christ tells us to do, take up our cross. That cross is laid upon us by Christ. The Christian life is not about being happy, and it's about carrying that message, and it's a dangerous thing to do. Hey, Todd, really quick, I'd like to make a sermon suggestion. I love your sermon reviews that you do on your radio show.
Thank you.
And I sent a link to your producer for the sermon that Rick Warren did on November 26th, so it was a week ago today. And I think it is a quintessential type of sermon, but in it, Rick Warren actually tries to address and speak to some of his critics, and I think it's worth you taking a crack at using your sermon review. And I'd love to hear what you could do with it, but please take a listen to it and see what you think. I hope you consider it.
Hey, look, we always are happy to take suggestions, especially from guys like you, Chris, so we will definitely take it under advisement, take a listen, and see what we can do, and thanks for the advice. Here's Carol, listening on KFAX in Foster City, California. Carol, welcome.
Hi. I appreciated your comment about without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the other thing I was thinking of, in Isaiah 64, it says, "We welcome those who cheerfully do good, who follow godly ways, but we are not godly. We are constant sinners, so your anger is heavy on us. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we proudly display our righteous deeds, we find they are but filthy rags."
Yes.
And that's what he is telling the non-believers,
Carol,
that your good works are wonderful and God is happy with you, and God is not happy with us just through our good deeds.
Carol, thank you very much, and thank you for listening there on KFAX. I think you put us onto a quote from Rick Warren a couple months ago, Chris, in some audio that you found. We don't have it with us tonight, unfortunately. It didn't make it onto the CD, where Rick says in plain words, without paraphrase, it takes more than faith to really please God. Picking up on what Carol had to say there, and on this odd comment from Warren, what in the world does he mean by this?
What is he? Oh,
when he says it takes quoted the passage, without faith it's impossible to please God. Rick says it takes more than faith to really please God.
Yeah, that's from his 40 days of community, and he says it takes more than faith. It takes more than belief to really please God, and he's there talking in the context of your service, community service thing that you're supposed to do along with the 40 days of community, and over and over and over again, we hear from Rick Warren that we've got to get out there and get to work and do and do and do and do. And literally, I think his theology is one that's very Pharisaical. It's very similar to what the Roman Church was teaching, although the spin is different. And it's this idea that we've got to please God through our good works, that belief is not enough, and he doesn't subscribe to, at least not in his preaching, to the concept of sola fide, sola gratia, that we are saved by grace alone, that we are saved by faith alone. And he, at times in his interviews, will say that he subscribes to that and understands it, and then turns around and says things that contradict it. And Carol, I appreciate her discernment and the passages she brought to it regarding Isaiah, because you, no pastor, no Christian can offer comfort to a non-believer based upon their deeds, nor can you offer it even to a Christian. We as Christians are called to, you know, as Martin Luther says, we are saved by faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. We're called to good works as Christians because the Holy Spirit is within us and indwells us, and these are the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us for the kingdom of God and for His glory. But even those are filthy rags. Our good works are as filthy rags, but God sees them through the blood of Christ, and He even rewards the feeblest of good works on our part. And I like to pray like Luther did, save us from our good works, for they are fraught with mortal sins.
I hadn't heard that one before. I have to look that one up. John is listening on WAVA in Maryland. John, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment about what you said about him speaking to non-believers. I think if Jonathan Edwards was preaching sinners in the hands of an angry God, I mean, they're dangling by a thin thread over hell, that would be seen as more of a heresy nowadays because of the pragmatic teaching
right
out there than what's this marketing church growth type teaching that's happening.
Right.
John, thank you very much. I want to pick up on something that he said. Feel free to comment there, Chris, but he used the word pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the question I asked you earlier about how will history look back on kind of the Warrenite movement, the one term that I think will be used is pragmatism.
Right. It's what works. But we've seen this before, actually, in church history. If you remember John Wesley, you know, the criticism against the Wesleyans was that they really believed they could be saved by their methods. And there was a staunch pragmatism to the whole Wesleyan movement and the Methodists and then the Nazarenes that followed. I think we're seeing the same type of thing with slightly different spin, but it boils down to the same thing. It's this idea that I don't trust that God's word is going to do what it says it's going to do if I am faithful to the message. So I'm going to come up with a way to get around that and experience success, things that work, but I don't want to have to be offensive. I don't want, you know, it's going to work on my terms. And so he's got these methods, he's got these principles, he's got this program, he's got this brand, and he's out there spending a lot of money marketing. Well, sure, marketing works. I mean, the Fortune 500 companies prove that marketing works, and it's pragmatic, and there's nothing spiritual about Crest toothpaste, which has been a successful brand for decades. But the point is that, you know, he's taken these pragmatic marketing driven principles and applied them to the church and said, see, God is blessing it. No, it just means that marketing works.
Chris Rosebro is our guest. He received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's an instructor at Capo Valley Community Church in California and author of the blog. I do recommend you visit it, extremetheology.com. It's all one word, extremetheology.com. We're talking about Rick Warren and the purpose-driven church movement. And when we come back, 10 more minutes with Chris Rosebro and your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. Stay tuned. Todd Wilkin here, talking with Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Wenthe, tell us about Concordia Theological Seminary as a worldwide outreach.
We have, at latest count, about 23 different countries represented on our campus. We have a full-time staff member teaching in Lithuania, another in Siberia, and then our resident faculty teaches regularly in Kenya, in Haiti. We just recently received an invitation to teach in Madagascar. So our commitment is to be a light on the hill and to broadcast the light of Christ into all the world.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web at www.ctsfw.edu.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues, Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Chris Rosebro is our guest. We're talking about Rick Warren and the Purpose-Driven Church Movement for about 10 more minutes here on the program. Let's go straight back to the phones to Waverly, Missouri, and KAYX, where David is listening. Hi, David.
Hi. I just called in, and I've been listening to your program, and I really appreciate your program because I believe in a major part that the church is being deceived today by all kinds of messages, and once we get away from the very fact that the whole Bible is about the hopelessness of man, that sin has separated us from God, and that the only hope we have got is our faith in Him, and He's paid the complete price on Calvary. I mean, that's what the whole Bible is about. And as soon as we put anything else into that, we're putting works into it. Like, Jesus just isn't our example. No, he's the one that paid the price for our sins. And the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is about man in his best state is altogether unfit. All of our righteousness is filthy rags, that Christ is our propitiation, that when he said on the cross, it is finished, it meant that he alone paid the whole price. And we're completely helpless. All we can do, the whole Bible says, all we can do is look up and cry like Jesus gave the example in John chapter 3 about the ones being bit in the wilderness. All they had to do is look up in faith.
David, thank you very much for your thoughts and for your call. Chris, I'd like your thoughts here on David's comments.
Amen and amen. Again, this is... It's, you know, Warren is wrong in this sense when he says it's not about you, it's about God. It's about Christ. The really, you know, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you diligently search the scriptures, for by them you think that you are saved. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life. This is Jesus' words, and you know, even on the road to Emmaus, you know, he opens up the scriptures to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and shows them, beginning with the Torah and ending with the prophets, how the Christ had to suffer and die, and tells them about himself in the scriptures. Scripture is all about our sin and rebellion and our utter, complete hopelessness and impotence spiritually and dependence upon God. And I don't know how a reader would get it, but there's a great Carl Fikencher actually wrote a doctoral dissertation, and there's a great quote in there. He quotes from a book and talking about a church that got a new pastor, and they called him Decker the Wrecker because he was trying to smooth talk people and giving a comforting pillow, and they missed their old pastor because their old pastor would, you know, literally take them to the edge of despair every single Sunday and then swoop in with the gospel and rescue them. You know, it's like it's the message of the cross done right, where people are terrified by their sins because it's preached to them in full strength. The law is preached to them in full strength Sunday after Sunday, and the gospel in its total sweetness is right there to comfort them. This is what the church needs to be doing instead of trying to make friends with the world and be popular with them. This is the message that we've been given and called to be faithful to, and the message that will be preached until Christ returns.
Listening on WDTK in Detroit. Hi, Bill. Welcome, and thanks for waiting.
Good evening, gentlemen, and greetings from the Motor City.
Thank you.
Hey. Thank you so much for this broadcast tonight. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I left my Lutheran church that I grew up in because of the purpose-driven life. Purpose-driven life to me is not led by the Spirit. In fact, they're opposites in my opinion. You cannot be led by the Spirit and driven by purpose at the same time. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. You know what I mean? So I was led to another Lutheran church, of which I'm very happy at this time. But, you know, another thing here that really that I'd like to bring up, if you don't mind, about the peace plan that Rick Warren is forcing, if you will. All I can think about is Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, and it talks about the Antichrist and what he would do in the end times, basically. And it mentions in there that by peace he shall destroy many, and it's an interesting passage. And when I heard about the peace plan, the first thing I thought of was Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. So
Bill, thanks Bill, thanks for the call. Our time grows short here. Your comments on the fact that what Bill mentioned early in his comments there, and that is that the purpose-driven church promises great growth, but also says it's going to come at the expense of a lot of people who will stand in your way, and they just need to be what? The casualties of the movement.
Yeah, and the Wall Street Journal a few months ago did a stellar job of picking up on this, and that is that the purpose-driven movement in their transitions, you know, they try to transition churches from being traditional in their worship to being purpose-driven, and the techniques that they use literally take your established Bible-believing Christians and those who would criticize the purpose-driven movement biblically, and they are literally shown the door. And in some cases, they're not only shown the door, but they are instructed to call the pastor of the church where they go to next and tell that pastor that those people are troublemakers. You know, it's just horrible, some of the stories that are coming out of churches, literally churches that are 100, 150 years old, that are being destroyed by the purpose-driven movement.
All right, one more quick call. This one comes from Hazel in Greensboro, Alabama. She listens on XM. Hi, Hazel.
Hi. I just have a comment. I just am so glad to hear somebody speaking about, against Rick Warren and his teachings. I have left my Baptist church because of the purpose-driven life that I went through, and I found that my church was more interested in bringing the world into the church with all its entertainment and food and festivities and all, instead of sending church people out into the world.
Hazel, thank you very much. It's a great comment. Chris?
Her story is not untypical anymore. We're hearing more and more of these. In fact, I read an email maybe a few months ago from a pastor who set out to try this whole purpose-driven movement thing, and he grew his church. It grew radically. And he later commented, he says, you know, the only thing I've really succeeded in doing, though, is filling my church with baptized pagans. That's literally what he said the end result of the whole thing was. And I would say to that, amen and amen. This is not the biblical model for church. This is something foreign. And it's something that needs to be critically looked at, because Scripture tells us to test everything and hold to that which is good. And I do not believe, based upon my study and my evidence, that Rick Warren's purpose-driven movement meets the standards of Scripture. In fact, it falls short of it because it twists the Scriptures and therefore needs to be critically looked at and repudiated. And if anything can be salvaged from it, maybe we've learned some lessons on what not to do.
All right, quick final question, only 30 seconds to respond. someone's been listening to us all along here and thinking, why can't Christians just get along? Why nitpick a man's teaching that at least seems to be doing so much good? 30 seconds, Chris.
Because Jesus wasn't about getting along. He was about teaching the truth. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he had no bones to pick with people. He did not soft pedal them. He said things that were insulting to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees. And even we see in Scripture the Apostle Paul saying that those who bring another gospel are anathema. And so we must guard the church against wolves. And that means we have to teach what's in accord with sound doctrine and rebuke and repudiate that which isn't.
Here's our mailing address. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Now, you can use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of the next Issues Etc. journal, or to join our monthly or annual donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. And you can help us reach our goal of 300 Reformation Club members by the end of the year. We'll send you, for new members and for renewing members, our new I Have Issues t-shirt. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He received a degree in religious studies from Concordia University in Irvine, California. He's an instructor at Capo Valley Community Church in California and author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. Chris, as usual, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks again, Todd.
I had mentioned before that when historians look back on the Rick Warren movement, the purpose-driven movement, they might give it a label, pragmatism. When we first started evaluating the purpose-driven life, we often heard from pastors saying, look, you don't criticize it because it works. Don't you see? We've tried it, and it works. The church has grown. Now, the message may have suffered, but the church has grown. Rick Warren says he's addicted to change lives, results, making the world a better place. But did Jesus, when he left his disciples at the Ascension, say, go make disciples doing whatever it takes, whatever works? No. He said by baptizing and by teaching everything I have commanded you. Not knocking off the rough edges, and certainly not omitting, especially for those who need to hear it, Christians and unbelievers, the message of his cross for our salvation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the Worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.